studying God's Word that we might abound in grace. This is Abounding Grace. Join us. Again, welcome to the broadcast. Abounding Grace is the name of the program. Our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, takes us to God's Word each and every day here on Abounding Grace with a few moments of encouragement and exhortation from God's Word. Make it a point to join us today as we study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved, encouraged in Christ, growing in our walk with Him. Here now, from United Reformed Church of Linden, our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, with this edition of Abounding Grace.
Well, we thank you for tuning in today at Abounding Grace. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church. Again, very thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you as we go back to the book of Romans this week and consider a section here on Christian liberty, a great subject for our day, something that God has instructed us much about, our Christian liberty and how we should live as Christians in the world, of course, but not of the world. Well, I begin with this today. This is Romans 14 is the context today, the text we're taking, verses 14 through 23, where Paul addresses the Christian's liberty. And I begin by saying, we all like a list of rules, don't we? We all like to be told just what we need to do in the most simplest terms possible, defined well, presented clearly, and easy to achieve. You should read your Bibles at least this much and this amount every day. You should behave just like this. You should not smoke. You should never drink. No TV, no movies, no dancing, all worldly. If we could just make our Christianity that practical, right? With lists of rules like that, we would all feel that we're doing well. We're all achieving and being all that we can be. Of course, such an approach to the Bible's commands quickly turns one into a Pharisee and a new sort of legalism. And the fact, I believe that's exactly what people often are crying after in their cry for application. Give us rules. Give us principles. Since we have been wired for law, people want a Christianity that is, quote, light and easy. Nothing too requiring. But isn't it interesting, my friends, that when we study the book of Romans or we study the book of Ephesians, the apostle gives us this law section, this application section, that we don't have a list of rules. Just tell me what to do. No, the apostle really doesn't get that practical, if you will. Notice how general the commands are in Romans 12 through 16. Let your love be without hypocrisy. You think, how do we do that? He goes on, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Well, a little more specific, right? Be transformed, he says, by the renewing of your mind. How? Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good, period. Lots we could talk about there. We could go on and on. And the point is, the apostle is giving us general commands. I think people would be greatly critical of Paul today. That is, preaching is not practical enough and applicational enough. He's not specific enough. I've always said that really application to your life is your responsibility. Pastors can't spoon-feed their people the application. People have to discern in these general commands that God gives what's applicable to their own personal lives and apply it that way. But people today are too dependent upon the spirituality of their pastors and too dependent on the cult of personality to apply these things themselves. But even so, if you were to ask, what is the closest thing to a list of rules in the Bible? Well, it's the Ten Commandments, isn't it? All of those Old Testament laws that accumulated that we see in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. And we know those rules were given to show that no one can keep God's standard, that salvation is sheerly by the grace of God, nothing we do to him who does not work but believes, right? God justifies the ungodly. So the message of the Bible is a message of grace. It's a message that says you and yourself can do nothing to please God. All of your salvation is something God has worked by grace. And so Christ said, you shall know the truth. Now here it is. And the truth shall set you free. You're no longer under the law in terms of being under it for condemnation, but under grace. Now, what would be the greatest threat, my friends, to that message? The message of the gospel, the message of a crucified Savior, the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified and all of His righteousness imputed to the believer's account by faith. Legalism, right? Of course, it would be some form of legalism, some form of new bondage. We're all prone to it, of course. Paul knows the Pharisees did this to religion. They could not cook on the Sabbath. All of their foods had to be prepared the day before. You could not carry even a handkerchief from one room to another. There were thousands of rules like this. Jesus comes along and says, no, 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 no. Your rules condemn you. I'm after a genuine heart, a circumcised heart, one that is transformed in the power of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter of the law. And that is why the Pharisees, of course, hated Jesus. His message was a message of grace, and he exposed that their hearts were not changed. Well, my friends, in Romans chapter 14, that's exactly what we're dealing with here. Here's the point. Since we're prone to legalism, the apostle is giving us generic, general commands. Love one another. Let your love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. In fact, he's going to say, in these gray areas where the word of God has not spoken clearly, you're free. You have a conscience. And you have God-directed wisdom to direct you. The Bible is not a handbook of rules. The Bible is not like a car mechanic's guide to fixing everything. God gives consciences. He works wisdom, and there are gray areas. And we really see this concern here that the apostle does not want to present Christianity as a list of rules. Christianity, my friends, is about the God who justifies, imputing to sinners the righteousness of His Son. So, when it comes to issues of how we exercise our liberty, God's not really overly concerned with these things until our liberty harms someone else, or our liberty is turned into a bondage for ourselves or a stumbling block to our brother. Well, in any given church, the Apostle Paul says here in Romans 14, there are the strong and there are the weak. The strong are those who understand what the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus has done in setting them free. And now, how that freedom translates to daily living, to wanting to keep God's law, not out of being under it for condemnation, but out of gratitude, out of thankfulness, as a guide for thankful living. The weak have not yet grasped the full significance of their freedom. They struggle yet to see the full significance of what the cross has won for them. Well, the strong and the weak here, the apostle deals with both these groups, how they should treat one another in church life. But now Paul interestingly gives instructions here in Romans 14, beginning at verse 14, to the strong. Namely, that their freedom should not be exercised in a way that would hurt the weaker brother. It's that simple of a calling. Well, at the beginning of chapter 14, the apostle gives instruction on Christian liberty by saying that we are to receive one weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. So there are doubtful things that the Bible speaks very clearly about, and then there are these gray areas. There are doubtful things, though. The Bible, again, I want to make sure we understand this, is never meant to be a handbook to find the specific answer to every single problem and everything of disagreement in this life. The general principle of Christian liberty is important for us to understand. There are certain things that the Bible has spoken very clearly about. The doctrines of salvation, justification, our gospel, the worship of God. And in these things, we are called to walk in the spirit of unity in the bond of peace. And that requires for us lines to be drawn. It's just lazy, insidious, compromising to think that we shouldn't draw lines over the truth. We think of Jesus overturning tables because zeal for the Lord's house had eaten him up. Because they had compromised the worship of God. We need more people today zealous for the Lord's house. Surely it's an unnatural thing for one to be casual or compromising about the Lord's truth. If we love him, we will keep his commandments. So the principle is this. On those things the Bible has spoken clearly about, we have to draw lines. But where the Bible has not spoken, we are called to use wisdom and prudence in the exercising of our liberty. And that's the thought that Paul leaves here in Romans 14, the driving principle here. He says in verse 13, "Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but resolve this, not putting a stumbling block or a cause to fall in your brother's way." And he gave two examples in chapter 14, the example of food and the observance of religious days. Some Jews were still tied to these things. They had not grasped their freedom. They weren't observing these laws to think they earned anything before God, but because of their old traditions. They are the weak. The strong, of course, who were the Gentiles, who understood the gospel, that the gospel had set them free from all these commandments contained with ordinances, were very convicted not to partake in these things. Now, Paul knows differences are a potential for blow-up in the life of the church. And he's teaching us here how to walk in love. The fact of the cross should so overwhelm us that the stronger brothers should be willing to concede and forego their position for the sake of the weaker. Well, we're going to return to this great subject throughout the course of this week, but I want to give a pitch today. If there are any listeners in Canada in the White Rock area who are interested in planting a confessional Reformed church, this is something that we have a great heart to do. Please contact us. If you have any interest in this, if you are looking for a church that preaches the gospel, that preaches Christ sincerely and without compromise, well, we share that burden with you, so don't hesitate to contact us. Our heart and desire is to see the gospel of Jesus Christ go out into all the world, and that today there would be faithful men raised up to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified and all the doctrines of salvation, sin, and the glorious resurrection, that the truth of the gospel might be proclaimed in all of its beauty. So, if you have that interest in the White Rock, BC area, please give us a call and we can start working on that together with you. Well, we do thank you for tuning into Abounding Grace. It is a great delight to bring these radio broadcasts to you. May you grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ as He is magnified in our bodies, whether by life or by death.
And with that, we come to the end of our time today here on Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden with our teacher and pastor, Pastor Chris Gordon. If you have questions, comments, maybe a prayer request, maybe today's broadcast has sparked a couple of thoughts in your mind you just can't get away from and you'd like someone to talk with, feel free to call or write to us. Our phone number is 360-318-0429. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. Or stop by our website, lindenurc.com, and drop us an email. While you're there, pay us a visit and check the website out. We've got a lot of information about who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities here at United Reformed Church of Linden. Again, that's lindenurc.com. If you're writing to us, the address is 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington, 98264 is the zip code. And again, the phone number, 360-318-0429. If you would like to join us for worship, we do meet at 8650 Benson Road, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Sundays. We'd love to have you join us. In fact, if you do, would you let one of the ushers know you're invited by the radio broadcast? That would encourage us a great deal. And then we trust we'll see you again next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.